Okay, so it was difficult to find a topic to speak about because I only got 7 minutes, but I think there's a lot of confusion nowadays in the church, and I've listened to quite a few preachers in the last few days, and I've heard a lot of disagreement, and I want to talk about something that's very dear to me. And I think it's dear to everybody here that's a believer, and it's how we became a believer, how we came to know Christ, to have saving faith in Christ. And I think if we don't have the correct understanding of this, that we can lead ourselves astray, we can lead other people astray, and I think it's such a vital issue. It's the foundation of our Christian life that if we can't get this right, that it would be a huge mistake. So what I hear in a lot of churches is decisionism. If for those of you guys that don't know what decisionism is, it's and even I even hear it. I've been teaching Awana for the last 5 or 6 years. I hear people say that we want our students to come to make a decision for Christ. Now, I think that can be very dangerous because of it has to have a lot of qualifications. What do I mean by that? The whole issue is free will versus God's sovereignty. And I've been thinking about that for the last 2 days. I have a few verses here. So I'll start off with Ezekiel 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And then skipping down to verse 31. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. So God in saving us, he is always first. He always has to draw us first before we could respond to him. And I feel like we miss that a lot when we talk to other people. We tell them, and we might mean well by it, but we tell them phrases like, just accept Christ into your heart. That's fine, but what do you mean by that? Because if you don't explain to them what they mean, they'll go and be confused. In middle school, this is what was told to me. We went to an American church, and I thought I became a believer. I was as sincere as a middle schooler could be. But my so-called salvation was only a superficial one. It didn't reach down deep enough. And I feel that, like I said, I've been teaching Awana for the last 6 years. I haven't met a single person in my class that hasn't made a decision for Christ. Now, do I believe that they're all saved? I don't think so, because I've had about 30 people, and they're not there by their own choice. Most of their parents make them come there. So I've had about 200 different students. Many of them have given their life to Christ, and they've been born again by the Spirit, and they have evidences of grace in their life. Evidences of the new birth. You can tell they hate sin. They desire to be more like Christ. But many of them, I feel, have only a mental understanding of what it means, and that's the tragedy because of how we've stressed it to them, how we've presented the gospel to them that it's completely up to them whether they choose Christ or not. We have free will. All of us were here because we chose to come here. But the problem is that the kind of free will that we have is not a total freedom. It's not the same kind of freedom that Adam enjoyed before the fall. Before the fall, Adam was completely free to choose good or evil. Now, after the fall, something radical happened. And we're no longer able to even choose to do good. And why can't we choose good? Because we won't. And Romans says in 3 verse 11, there is none that seeks after God. So God always has to start the process of salvation. In verse 26, I will give you a new heart. Then, verse 31, then you will remember your evil ways. Then you will repent. You can't even repent without the Lord first putting a new heart within you. He has to start a mysterious work in your heart before you can even begin to understand that what you're doing is not right, and that God is angry with you, and that he hates sin. Now, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I think a lot of people end up leaving the church. I know a lot of people end up leaving the church after they get a little bit older, and it's through lack of knowledge. It's not that they weren't sincere, but if you're a teacher, you didn't instruct them properly enough. So I always stress with the people in the middle schoolers, and even today in Sunday school, we talked about Matthew 23, and Matthew 23 is the great chapter on legalism and Phariseeism. And I asked the people in the class, and one person had a really, really good answer. I said, did the Pharisees know that they were going to hell? And they said, no, they didn't. And how scary is that you can wholeheartedly believe that you are going to heaven, that you're a son of God, redeemed, and the only person that knows you're not is God, but you believe it wholeheartedly. How scary is that? Because no one can convince you otherwise at that point. So, John 10, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. If we don't enter through this door of repentance from what we are, and which God abhors the wicked. God is angry with the wicked every day. I don't know if we tell young people that enough nowadays. I know that that other churches don't do it. I want it to happen here too, and I don't know if some of the younger people can understand Romanian, but I'm telling you now that if you can habitually sin, I don't know if you're a believer or not. I don't think you are, because that's one of the evidences of the new birth. That when I was in middle school, I was sincere for as long as I could be, a few months, and then school started again, and then I didn't have any evidences of that anymore. I slowly fell into more and more sin, and I was okay with it. If you're a Christian, the Lord won't let you. There's this doctrine of effectual calling, that when the Lord starts a work, he brings it to completion. He finishes it. So if God has really started something in your life, he will not allow you to go back into sin. He will make you so uncomfortable with it that you won't be able to do it. And if you can, then you have to ask yourself and examine yourself if you really did enter the sheepfold by the right door. And it's better to do it now than to find out on judgment day, right? Why not do it now? Everybody has to have to come to Christ in humility and repentance, and it is embarrassing. It is a humility. But then afterward, all of that goes away, and then you're forgiven, you're given the crown of life, and you have peace with God. But before that, let's not forget that we were all born at enmity with God. we were born hating God and that we're incapable of choosing. So the reason I was talking about my Awana class, not to bash on them too hard, but I ask them very searching questions sometimes, and you can see how superficially they understand it. And it's okay, they're at that age, but they can't continue to be at that age, that spiritual age, and become a believer. But you, there's just a few more verses I wanna mention, and then I don't even know how long I've been up here. So 2 Timothy 2:25 through 26. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses. That's part of the verse. I didn't read the whole verse. So if God doesn't grant you repentance, you can't come to him. It says whosoever will come can come and drink the water of life freely, but God draws first. And I think that's what we have to emphasize. You're incapable of doing anything on your own. Christ draws you first, and then you respond. I don't know a single believer that I've ever talked to that can take any credit for their testimony, and my testimony is that Christ saved me, not that I decided, I made a decision. It sounds so different, and it is so different fundamentally that because the problem with it is if you make a decision, then you base your whole eternity on the sincerity of your decision that you made. And to me, that it didn't work. It was all in the realm of emotions and mind and will. It wasn't deep enough. So God has to start a work with you at your deepest level in your spirit, give you a new spirit, give you a new heart, and then he'll bring it forward. Unfortunately, he strips you of every credit that you might have. He doesn't let you have any credit, any glory. All you can say is that I received Christ, and that's it. And even that, he made it possible for me to receive him. He changed the dispensation of my heart so that I was even capable of doing that. But we don't like that. We don't like that because we like to think that we can contribute a little bit to our salvation too. And that's the problem. I don't know. I don't hear it very often talked about. I think that's the danger. It doesn't bring in crowds to tell people that they must be born again. I'll finish with one last verse and then. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life with which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. John 3:7. One more. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? But he said, the things which are possible with men are impossible with men are possible with God. So I think it's important to know all these things so that when somebody asks us, if an unbeliever we come in contact with an unbeliever, we're able to lead them to Christ the correct way. And not in a way that, not in the way like the Pharisees did, where they made them double children of hell, but in a way that they know the truth, and then, yes, they have a responsibility to repent, but it's ultimately their responsibility, but at least we won't be responsible for steering them away from the truth through our lack of knowledge. So I think we need to be clear on our theology, on how it works. If it's the foundation of our life, we need to be absolutely crystal clear and be able to explain and teach to others what happens at our conversion, how it happens, who starts it, who finishes it, what role do we play, and we do have a role. So, yeah, that's it.